Welcome, and thank you for joining the Plus Group's Long-Term Care Awareness Month Conference. Your host, Tracy O'Malley, will now begin.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tracy O'Malley, and I'm the Executive Director of the Plus Group. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. Today's topic is Selling Long-Term Care in a Down Economy, and will be presented to you by James Dulsdorf of Prudential. Hopefully you have the presentation so that you can follow along with us. If you don't have it, you can go to our website at www.plusgroupus.com. And on the right side of the page under 2011 Live Conference Schedule, you'll see a link where it says Selling LTC in a Down Economy. It'll take you to another page, and the presentation is actually on the bottom of that page. We hope that you enjoy the presentation, and please feel free to jot down any questions you will have an opportunity to ask at the end of the call. And now I'm going to turn this over to Jim.
Okay, thanks, Tracy. Good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully everybody is having a great day here on Hump Day, heading towards Thanksgiving weekend. To get started, just give you a little background on myself. My name is Jim Dulsdorf, as Tracy had said. I am the regional sales manager for the Southern Territory for Prudential. I not only support some of the Plus Group general agents, but I also support the Prudential career system as well. I've been in the business since 1984. I've been focused on long-term care since the mid-90s, so I've seen some of the trends in the industry, and I think as many of you know, if you're involved in long-term care, those trends are continuing today, and if anybody wants to talk about that a little bit more, we can certainly do that. But to get started, if you've got the slide presentation in front of you, we're going to start on slide two, where it's entitled U.S. Bear Market History and the Peak Through the Declines. And the point there is right now we hear from a lot of people that, the market's too volatile. There's too many things going on. You pick up the paper the European crisis is on the front page. Then the next day the U.S. crisis is on the front page. And then the next day it's something else. So people tend to be a little bit reluctant to make a big investment into something like long-term care. But the point to remember is we've had down markets throughout the history of this country, and that's what this bar graph just really shows. It shows the various bear markets that we've had and what the decline has been in those particular markets. Now, it's not all the way out to current, but it just does give you kind of the picture. And if you look at the average decline since 1950, when there's been a bear market, has been about 31%. So, it certainly is nothing to take lightly, but it's certainly something that is cyclical, and we will recover. History has shown itself that we do recover after this bear markets. So it's something that we need to point out to people that it's even more important now to look at their risk management module in a volatile market, because if they have to liquidate assets in order to pay for a need of long-term care, it's going to cost them more money because the value of their accounts is less from what it once potentially perhaps was. So consequently, they're ending up liquidating dollars that at once were larger. So it's really important that they understand that this is something that is even more important in a volatile or a down market. Flipping over then to page three, this is just some averages. The dark blue is from 1957 to 2002, the recovery after a bear market, and the kind of light turquoise is the recovery averages since 1929 to 2002. And you can see the peak decline through that trough was 32% from 57 to 2002, and 38% from 29 to 2002. But then if you look at the bottom of the market, the recovery, and you can see that 3 months after the recovery, you look at the bar graph, the ones from 1929 is up almost 20% 3 months after. 6 months after, the picture even gets better. If you look at 1 year after the low, the most recent one, 57 to 2002, is slightly above 30% recovery. And if you look at the longer period of time, it's even better than that. It's over 40%. And then as we start getting away from the down market, volatility starts to level off. and there still are positive gains, but obviously not as big as what they once were. So, you know, even if you're not in the the business of selling stocks, bonds, mutual funds, managed money, or anything like that, it's still important to know and to put people's confidence at bay. Or, I mean, help put their confidence back and put the fears at bay. It can be gloomy, but all in all, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's from history has shown we can tell it's a good light. It's not the engine of the train bearing down upon us as we move closer to it. So, you know, that's the thing to remember. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir. I'm sure you folks all are aware of it, but sometimes we need something where we can visualize it and we can express that to the clients and say, yeah, you know, we're going to be conservative, but it's going to get better. It is going to recover. History has proven that. So then moving on to slide four, here in today's economy, your clients have questions. And some of the questions they have are, will the economy improve? More so, when will the economy improve? And for a lot of people, it may be, when will my personal financial situation, you know, like their cash flow, or, you know, perhaps they've been laid off and aren't, you know, have found a job, but it's not at the same level they were earning and things like that. So when will that change? And most importantly, what's going to be left of my retirement nest egg? You know, my 401k, my IRAs, whatever type of investment vehicles that they have. You know, what's going to be left of them, you know, when this thing finally hits bottom, and, you know, what should I do about it? I had a conversation with an agent the other day, and they had a client in the office, and they were talking about the situation, saying, well, geez, you know, we've lost a little bit of money. Not too bad. We were positioned properly, so we didn't lose too much, but we've lost a little bit of money, so we just kind of want to wait until that picks up. And I asked them the question. I said, well, if there was a chance of you to lose even more money while you wait, is that something that concerns you? And they said, well, of course it would be. It'd be foolish not to. I said, well, that's exactly what's happening. When you're not covering the risk of needing extended health care coverage or long-term care coverage, you know, while that market is recovering, you could end up causing your own default in your retirement plan by not having that protection and having to spend your own assets to take care of somebody who needs some help at home or in adult daycare, assisted care living, or a nursing facility. So when I kind of said that, the guy kind of thought, and he said, you know, you're right. He said, yeah, we could, while the market is coming back, there's a number of things that could happen. We could need care. One of us could become uninsurable, and I just sat back and let him talk, and he convinced himself that and his spouse that, yeah, this really is something that even though we're concerned about cash flow, we're concerned about where our assets are going to go, this is something that left unchecked could cause a bigger problem. And we ended up selling he and his wife a policy. It wasn't a Cadillac, but it certainly was something that would end up taking care of them for quite a bit of period of time should either one of them end up needing some care while they're waiting for their personal situation to improve. So, you know, to their questions, here's some of the things that we do know. We know that the baby boomers started turning 65, and that each year more baby boomers are going to have an LTC experience with a parent or a relative or perhaps even themselves. Another thing that we know is that we will be 1 year older in 2011 than we were in 2010. We'll be 1 year older in 2012 than we were in 2011. So we know that we're getting older. And as you know, as we get older, the cost does continue to rise. The insurability issue becomes in on the third point, you know, where it says at some point in the near or far future, you will have more health issues than you do today. We know that's going to be true. People who are younger tend to be healthier, and consequently, they can end up getting a better rates than somebody who's maybe in their late 50s, early 60s, because they've got some health concerns, so they're not going to qualify for a preferred rate. So, you know, those are some of the things that we do know. Then moving on to slide number six, you know, so what are your clients willing to do right now? First of all, many are willing to transfer the risk of LTC to an insurance company rather than relying on their own and somewhat volatile and uncertain assets and income to pay for long-term care. Properly presented, they're willing to lock in their health and insurability at today's age and today's premium. We are able to keep premiums affordable by designing a program that maybe doesn't have all the bells and whistles that would really be nice to have, but it certainly has enough enough features and enough benefits so that we are protecting assets and income. And clients also want to know that they have the options for the future benefit increases when they know that their personal financial situation is better and it's more stable. The next slide number 7, talks about something in a way for you to help your client design a plan that can certainly protect them now and also protect them in the future using a feature called the guarantee purchase options. A guarantee purchase option can provide good protection today with a lower initial premium. As I'm sure you're aware of, each time a client exercises one of those options, their premium does go up based upon their age for that particular portion of it. But overall, it's a way to that they can get into a program and not break the bank, if you will. So some of the benefits for the client when we should consider it for clients would be when they have a temporary cash flow problem and we want to lock in their insurability. Maybe they're older and traditional compound insurance just has become too expensive. They just can't afford it. Also, it makes sense when we can use it when they're younger, and their income will increase later on. Some of their fixed expenses, like maybe their mortgage, saving for college, et cetera, will become less. So at that point in time, they can afford a little bit more. So a guaranteed purchase option in a plan certainly can make some sense. Another thing to consider is if you start with a guaranteed purchase option, maybe you increase the daily benefit that you're offering so that they don't have to take the guaranteed purchase options every 3 years in Prudential's case when they're offered and can say no to them a few times before having to exercise it to keep their premium level early on and not, have to take the options all the time because they've bought ahead. They're already a little bit ahead of the inflation option. So that's one of the things to consider in designing a plan. Another thing, and again, we don't want to make this per se a commercial for Prudential, but Prudential does have a product called Evolution that's approved in a lot of states, not every state, but that's a product too that you can get your clients into at a very affordable rate and later on either buy more or use a guarantee purchase option that's built into that. It's called guarantee increase feature. But use that particular option as well. So I think what we see happening in the industry across the board is we're seeing a shift away from like 5% compound no max. Companies are starting to offer different compound options and things like that in order to try and keep the premiums more affordable but still try and deal with inflation in some way. We kind of have to start thinking outside the box. I grew up in this industry, if you would ask me 5 years ago, somebody under age 65, what should I propose to them? My answer would have been to you, lifetime benefits, 5% compound. Well, that's changed with the economy and with everything else and what's happening with the companies with their rates and, things like that. So we kind of have to think outside the box a little bit, still give the client a good comprehensive plan, but we have to make sure that it's affordable because, we as specialists probably realize that 5% compound unlimited is the best, but is it right for everybody? I read a study recently that said that, and again, this is today's claimants, so as we know, medical technology is going to continue to increase, we could need care longer, but today, 98% of all the claims would be covered by a 5-year benefit plan. So if we're, if we're of that older mindset like I'm sure many of you were, lifetime benefits under age 65, we're overselling, maybe we're over-insuring. Sure, if they get Alzheimer's, one could argue that's the best thing in the world, but not everybody, hopefully, is going to end up getting Alzheimer's, or if we do, hopefully they'll have a medical technology will keep ahead of the curve and we'll have some sort of cure for it. But, I think that's really what we need to do is we got to kind of start, moving away from our old ways of, 5% compound is, everybody needs it. Yeah, it's the best it's the best option, but it also is the most costly. It's what drives the cost of any particular company's long-term care. It typically can at least double, if not more than that, the premium when looking of adding that as a rider. So again, I think we need to start thinking outside a little bit. So adding to switching over to slide number 7 is the magic of GPO. Again, it can keep your premiums affordable during your working years. You can get the best class as far as underwriting class that you'll ever get and keep that best class, and the increases are based upon what you got as far as an underwriting class when you took it. With Prudential, the GPO does continue while on claim and while premiums are being waived. So if somebody is on claim and they have the GPO option, it's going to automatically happen. They're not going to be excluded from getting it. Also, you can say no as many times as you want without losing the right to have it in the future. And the offer is calculated at a 5% compound basis. If you do decline it, like I mentioned, it doesn't affect future offers. So again, it can get you a meaningful benefit for a manageable premium. And again, the one thing with the GPO that Prudential offers, anytime during the life of the contract, the client can say, you know what, I want to switch to a permanent inflation option, and whatever is available at that time, be it 5% simple, 5% compound, no max, whatever it is, they can switch to that with one time without evidence of insurability. So it gives you the opportunity to really get somebody into a program that they can afford and they're willing to afford and still have some protection for the future. I was at an industry conference sometime this year. I forget exactly which one it was, but somebody made the comment that as an industry, we've really done a terrible job helping people, because only about 10% of all the eligible buyers of long-term care have really bought. And when they say eligible buyer, that doesn't mean everybody from 18 years on up. They're looking at people from say 45 years old and above. Who have incomes average or above average for the particular area of the country they live in, own their own home, things like that. So it's not anybody who's 18 years old can fog a mirror. And we've only done a job of nationally of about 10-11% penetrating that marketplace. So maybe it's time that we do have to kind of step back and say, people aren't buying it because they can't afford it or they don't want to afford it. And, as long as – my opinion is, as long as they have something, they're better off than they were with nothing. Now, to caveat that, though, I will say that that doesn't mean you should go out and sell somebody $50 a day for a lifetime benefit or $50 a day for a 10-year benefit. I would much rather see you sell it what we call short and fat. It means that if there's limited resources that the client has available or is willing to make available to solve the problem, sell them a better benefit up front, $150, $200, depending upon your area of the country, what your costs are, but then only make it a 2 or 3 year plan. That's still, you've still got them covered for at least that pool of money, and then if you've got a spousal situation or a domestic partner and the company has a shared care rider available, throw the shared care on, and now you've gone one step better and given them a much better plan for solving the extended health care problem. So from that standpoint, that's the prepared slides we have. I know that Tracy's group also sent out to you a reprint of the Kiplinger article that was in the Kiplinger's magazine a few months back, and it's really a three-step guide. In the interest of time, I'm not going to walk through bit by bit, but it really kind of gives you, if you look at it, it kind of gives you some of the things that if you're not doing now, maybe you want to start using in your sales presentation or your conversation with folks to try and get them up to speed on what the risk is. What does their current situation look like? I tell people all the time when I do seminars or when I have an opportunity to talk to them, I tell them right out, look, you've got a long-term care plan. My job is to help you understand what that plan looks like. And, you know, those, I'm sure all of you know what I'm speaking of. You know, their long-term care plan, unless they're filthy rich, their long-term care plan is spend their own assets until they spend down to a level that Medicaid says you're broke, and then they can go on the government. But that's not really what people want to do, per se, if they know that there's other options, because obviously they have to spend down to some pretty low levels, and now more than ever, there's a greater likelihood that somebody could need some long-term care for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and then recover. And then if they've put themselves in a situation where they've spent down all of their assets or down to those levels, all of a sudden now they're going to wish they were sick again, because they aren't going to have any money to speak of to really enjoy doing the things that they like to do, even though medical technology has resulted in them getting their health back. So I think it's really important that we really do show them that, look, here's the risks that you're facing. The risks are real. With medical technology continuing to improve the way it is, my personal belief is that long-term care is no longer a question of if you're going to need it. Long-term care has really become a question of when am I going to need it, because the doctors and hospitals are all the support staff and the researchers, they're finding ways to keep us alive a lot longer, alive in a very healthy state, not, you know, in a vegetated state, but in a decent quality of life. And the longer that we live, the greater the chance is that something can go wrong. And if you think about it, I mean, things that once were fatal to us, we recover from. I mean, we, you know, live through it and many times recover to have a normal life. So, that's the problem of the need for extended health care, long-term care, whatever you prefer to call it, is never been greater. And, I think it's our job as advisors, especially if we're, you know, helping clients with retirement planning and making sure that they've got monies for retirement, if we overlook this particular risk management module, I think we're doing a pretty huge disservice to our clients. So that being said, I'll shut up here for a minute and let somebody else ask some questions or talk or Tracy wants to take.
Okay, Jim, thanks. Yeah, we're ready for questions, so the operator will assist if there are any questions at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the number one key. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment, please press the number one key at this time. And we do have a question from Julie Ritten. Please go ahead.
How do you address the client who has wealth of $5 to $10 million, and they talk about being self-insured and they have plenty of money, or even the brokers, because I happen to have relationships with a lot of the brokers, and they're saying, try to justify it to me with the premium versus having millions of dollars to cover themselves. It's a joke or a drop in the bucket to them.
Well, those people, we can argue on both sides. We have to acknowledge the fact that yes, they can afford it to take care of it if need be. The thing though, the first thing obviously we have to look at is, okay, this is what their net worth is, but what is that net worth in? What's the title? Do they have a lot of net worth in qualified money, or do they have a lot of net worth in real estate? Or something like that, is particularly, if they've got somebody who's got a lot of real estate, well, how would you like to be liquidating real estate right now to start paying for a long-term care need? I mean, you're getting 50 cents on the dollar in many parts of the country. So, I think first and foremost, we have to look at what that net worth is. Where is it? Where is it tied up? What's the ramification of liquidating some of that to pay for a long-term care need, first and foremost? But what I've found, and I'm not about to try and tell you that this is a slam dunk and works every single time, but what I've found is that people who have a fairly good net worth, most people didn't get there by making foolish decisions. I mean, they got there by making smart decisions. Some people, got it the old-fashioned way. They inherited it. But a lot of times, they got there by making good, smart business decisions. And I think what we have to do is we have to show them, for what is a real pittance to them. I mean, you know, let's face it, if they can write a check for $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month for care, and many of these people who are well off, you have to also, you know, talk to them about the type of care they want to receive, and most of them are going to say 24-hour around-the-clock home health care. Well, you and I both know that that's not going to cost $200 a day. That's going to cost a lot more. Can they afford it? Absolutely. But if we can show them how they can leverage their money and buy a pretty rich plan, goes counterintuitive to what we just talked about, but if they can buy a very, you know, rich plan, or even look at a product like a Prudential Evolution if it's available in your states, you know, where they can buy $1 million on them and they can buy $1 million pool on their spouse, throw shared care on, you know, they can do that for a few $1,000s each per year. All of a sudden they start looking at that going, okay, I'm taking $4,000, $5,000, and I'm leveraging it into a $2 million bucket of money when at claim time, I can submit whatever my expenses are, and Prudential's going to pay 80%. I'm only out of pocket for 20%. That's a pretty good investment. But I will acknowledge to you, that's probably one of the harder ones to go up against, short of somebody who doesn't have any assets and can't afford it, then obviously we can't help them. But those are the only two ways that I've been successful in dealing with the uber wealthy, as far as showing them, well, it does make sense for you to have long-term care because, you know, you're smart. You insure everything else you own. Why wouldn't you insure this risk? Why not take pennies and turn them into dollars? Does it work all the time? I'd love to tell you it does, but it does work some of the time.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the number one key. Again, if you have any questions or comments, please press the number one key at this time. There are no more questions in queue.
Okay, Jim, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for attending today. If you do have any additional questions, please contact your local Plus Group office. And we have recorded this call, and once we receive it, it will be placed on our website at www.plusgroupus.com. And we are currently working on our learning call schedule for 2012. Please check our website or contact your local Plus Group office for more information. Jim, thanks again, and thank you, everyone, for attending today. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.